Good morning, brethren.
We
thank the Almighty God for another Sunday to gather to worship Him.
And I want
to thank the elders and the leadership and our minister Martin for asking me to lead the discussion this morning. The Lord has brought us this far in the year. It has been a very difficult year. In fact, the last 2 to 3 years have been very difficult for all of us. And just as we thought things were going to get better, we find that our economy was melting down. So the leadership thought it wise that this last month of the year, we should focus on encouraging one another on how to live as Christians in these very difficult and unstable times. So I would lead a discussion this week and next week, and Brother Martin will come and continue for the other 2 weeks. Our objective is to share with you some principles, ideas that will enable you to live through the difficult times. I wish that I could have announced to you that the difficult times will just go away. But unfortunately, I cannot. In fact, more likely that things are going to get even worse before they get better. So, when you are in this situation, there are so many questions that go through your mind. And you are asking if things are going to get better. And what should I do? Where is the God I serve? It is true, things are difficult. We went through COVID, so many people got suffered, some people lost their jobs. We came to this year, things were quite stable, some people's businesses were beginning to pick up. Then all of a sudden we find multiple factors working against us and the whole world. But it seems as if we in Ghana seem to be even more affected than other people in the world. Because if you take inflation across the world, prices are going up. But if you look at Ghana, our inflation at 40% is much higher than all our neighbors. When you look at currency depreciation, we find that they even tell us that our currency is the worst in the whole world. We find ourselves deep in debt. Our leaders have borrowed and borrowed and borrowed And today, if you divide the amount that we owe as a nation, and each one of us is supposed to pay, some of us, it will take our whole life before we can pay our share.
Na ye ni enimu fo no abobo sia pi yakudu ba bia se ye ka se ka ye dimpo ye che obi antwa ne dia ye mu bi o ha ye de ye nkwa na nyina na betua.
Businesses are crying.
Enyuma pi na esu.
People are losing their jobs.
Enkofo pi na omo hwe wo madwuma.
Your salary has not changed.
Wa ketu ye de man no de ensesan.
The things you used to buy, you are not able to buy them today.
You
used to buy both road for one city. Today is 3 cities.
Nanka auto both road one city. Say say 3 cities.
The kenke you used to buy for a city is small.
Kenke nanka auto no one city. Say say aburu subibri.
Your red that you used to buy, you can't buy. Your money cannot buy that much.
Koko ananka auto a deep panel pay. Say usi kenti.
People have had to now adjust their lives and live within their means.
Some
people are not able to find one meal a day. Those who are able to find one meal a day, they are able to do 2-3 before they have reduced it. These days, I find less cars on the streets. Even those who have the money to buy the cars, that these days they park them. I met one brother and he said, Sam, these days I take trotro to go to my shop. Because by the time I fill my tank and go to Accra and come back, I've bent maybe 200-300. So I take trotro at least to go and come maybe to be 40 cities. Then I save some money.
If you say, "Se me to petrol gumi kemo, I meko bebano na 300 cities ko intiene mi paki kana numa fat trotro numa."
So this is the situation we find ourselves.
Enunti tebia se se ye wumni.
Now individually we may be. Some people may be better off than others. But there are people in this country who are really suffering. And so we are asking ourselves so many questions. So our objective this and the coming weeks is to share with you principles that will enable you to live as a Christian and to bear the pain, because the pain will continue. Now the environment we are now, business people call it the VUCA environment. V-U-C-A, VUCA environment.
Because
the situation is very volatile.
If you say enyoma wo ho no abre nyina na
yesesa. It's uncertain. Things are getting complex over time. And things are very ambiguous. You don't know what to do. And they say that in this situation, the solution to this is to have also what they call VUCA solutions.
Now the own kind of say, "Stebi esise no, wonso so uhiya anu ye a anu se VUCA sa."
And the solution you need is to have vision, clarity of vision. You have to have understanding. You also have to have clarity in your mind. And you have to be agile, in other words, flexible. So what we are going to try to share with you are principles that will enable you adopt a VUCA response to this VUCA situation we find ourselves. We are going to share with you principles that will enable you to tune your attitude in this situation, because as I've said, the situation will not change.
Na ntia be pe adisuan amai abrabo a ebetimi amai chimi adwene ahwet se ne nyoma ekwe bi se nyoma se de etie no ensesa.
Because attitudes are so very important.
If you say de yeboye mbra no ehuhia pa.
It is attitude that will enable us to understand the things that are happening to us.
Eh ye said ye suman ye ne ye ne be metimi atiase enyoma etwe.
So we are going to share with you attitudes that will enable you to go through this hurting situation you find yourself. It is the right attitude that will enable you to go through and become a better person. Now, last night when I was preparing this lesson, I found a very interesting lesson on attitude. And I wanted to share it with you. And to illustrate the point that your attitude is more important than the facts that surround you. Was it on Friday Ghana played against Uruguay in the World Cup?
Nah, if you had to me Ghana any Uruguay for work or ball.
And we lost.
Nah, you didn't go.
And there was this write up where brought us some very interesting comparison between Ghana and Argentina in the same World Cup.
Nah, the mission I know my fatuhu be na any can ye fair Ghana any Argentina.
In the World Cup, Ghana missed our penalty. Argentina also missed their penalty.
Now, I can see any more Ghana your penalty. Yes, I know. Argentina wants to say one day.
Both Argentina and Ghana lost in their first games.
Argentina and Ghana, and so, yeah, match a decano. You didn't go.
Both Argentina and Ghana won in their second games.
Both
Argentina and Ghana needed to win their final games to get qualification. Early in the game, both Ghana and Argentina had penalties. The captain of the two teams stepped out to play. Each of the captains wore number 10 jersey. Each of the captains was left footed. They all targeted the same side of the goalkeeper. And they both missed. But what was the impact of those misses? At the end, Argentina won, Ghana lost. Why did the results change, even though the factors are all the same? Attitude. Almost as soon as Messi missed his penalty, and as if it was expected, and as if it was rehearsed, more than 30,000 of the Argentine supporters, all of them rose to their feet and started chanting Messi, 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 and they were all bowing down to Messi.
Now, Omra Messi or say penalty, no, now, sha. Argentina for more stadium honu bebre no bia soro mu bo mu se mano omo e ka Messi Messi Messi.
With this kind of support for the team and this continuous singing, the team was energized and move on to win.
Na so hwe ekita e ti sey a na sa team no mu nyina o manya hoden foforo no mu se e gbogbo no ahoden mu.
What happened to Ghana?
Na Ghana dia e den si e.
Immediately Andrew missed the penalty.
Now, Emra Andrew or say penalty na.
We all gasp in pain. Then both the players and we, the fans, all of us slammed down in disappointment.
Afi
Energy was taken from all of us. We froze, became like ice blocks. Our spirits were taken from us. We became angry and emotional. We began insulting the players and the managers and the GFA. In that state, Uruguay scored 2 goals. Now, it was not until we went back and came that the support and started playing better that the supporters started cheering up a bit.
What
was the difference here? Attitude. The Argentine had a positive attitude irrespective of the situation and the facts.
Na Argentina for no omo suban no e suban ya epim kwa animu emfa ho any die esie.
Whether win or lose, they were prepared to support, chant and move on.
Se omudi nkunimu omudi nkuguo omaye kra no se ombe yedede aboa omutimu.
But we were only prepared to enjoy, rejoice and support and jubilate only when we are winning.
Na ye die na ye adwin nyina ne se ye ba betai omachi ye ba bo omu emra ye di nkunimu nko a.
That attitude did not help us.
Na sa suban no amboa yen.
And so what we are sharing is for us to adopt an attitude that would enable us to stand irrespective of the situations.
Enu nti die ye ye che ne se ye benya tuban a ye ba ma ye timi agina pitin se emfa ho ne tebia ye kom.
Now, so let me share with you a few principles that will enable you adopt the attitude to stand in this difficult and any other difficult situations you find yourself. And since we are Christians, let me start from this point. Number one. As Christians, we need to understand that we are in this world, but we are not of the world.
Na say ye Christofoe, e wose ye ti ase se, ye nyina ye ti wiase de, nanso so ye nyi wiase de.
John chapter 17 from verse 13 to 16.
Yohane nguma no etre dunsun chichemu dumia san ekosi dunsia no.
Jesus was praying for us, the Christians.
Na Yesu Kristo obo mpae ama ye e Christofoe.
And this is what he says to God the Father.
Na de okache ye Yesu Nyankopon no.
I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So Jesus is saying that I'm coming to you, God, but I'm leaving these people in this world. They are not of the world, but I am giving them your word so they can have the joy.
Verse 15,
my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
They are
not of the world, even as I am not. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Now, when I meet Jesus, I will ask him serious questions. You are going to the Father. You tell him that you are leaving us here in this world. And you are telling him your prayer is not that he should take us from. Maybe God will change his mind and take us from this world. But you say no, you should not take us from the world. You should leave us here.
So I
have a case with him when we meet. But That is the reality of our call as Christians.
We are
in this world, but we should understand we are not part of the world. What that means is that we will not be immune from the problems of this world.
1 John chapter 2 verse 15
says, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world that is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world.
So
the things of this world are not for us. Our call is in heaven. This is an attitude that will enable you that even if you are losing the things of this world, you are losing your business, you are losing your car, these things are not the reason you are here. You understand that, you will be able to stand.
The world
and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever.
Now,
when you read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it says there is nothing new under the sun, and that's the second point I want you to
know.
So the first point, understand we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And the second thing is that under this world, there is nothing new. Ecclesiastes 1:8-11, all things are worrisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its
feel of hearing.
What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is new? It has already, it was here already long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations. And even those yet to come will not remember by those who followed them. So the things that are happening to us today, some of us feel that this is new. And those of you who want to do politics would say, in Muhammad's time it was not like that. In Akufo-Addo's time it's like this. The Bible says there's nothing new. And those of you who are older enough will remember this. Let me take your mind back to 1983. I was 18 years old. I was preparing for my GCE O-level examination. As I was practicing for my French orals, a young man came from town to my campus. I was then in the first secondary school boarding house. He had never come to campus that way. Some of my friends said, your brother is looking for you. I went to see him. What's the situation? What's the case? His message was, I am told to come and tell you that your mother is dead. My mother is dead. A week or so earlier, I had gone to see her in hospital. She was in labor. That was her 11th labor. As all the other laborers, that day, she had carried her load from the village, walked 7 kilometers to the nearest market. She had finished selling this time, walked back 7 kilometers to the village. It was then that the labor started. They called the village midwife. She tried this time round. She was not successful. It was getting late. So they had to take her back into the nearest town, which is 7 kilometers away. What did they do? They had to take her in what I call the village ambulance. Those of you who don't know, they cut a piece of wood, they would tie a cloth at one end and tie a cloth at the other end, and they push the patient inside. One man would put it on the shoulder, the other in the shoulder, and they started walking 7 kilometers. Long story short, I can spare you all the details. They walked 7 kilometers to the roadside, no car. This was 1983. There was no fuel. There was no food. People were walking, and they brought him to the roadside at Sushen. Those of you from Eastern region will know. To Sushen, and they were looking for a car to bring her to Poforidia Central Hospital. So they continued walking until, fortunately, some truck was coming. They put her in and helped to take her. Long story short, 1983, I lost my mother, and this was the most difficult part of this country. No food. Those of you in Accra, you had to queue for kenke. And the kenke, you don't wait till they have cooked it. Immediately they mix the thing, you go and queue and get it. Because if you wait for the kenke to be cooked, you won't get some.
Now, me trying to tell you, say some mu ah me share me mama no some na Ghana ayedin pa na say ye koton dokuno a dokuno no ntwen e maye no ansa ye boy na no hakoje if say say wetwen me no a unya bi.
People will go to Lome to go and bring basic things like soap. There was nothing, and when you brought soap, the PDC people will come and take it. Why are you hoarding it? They will take it and make a queue and sell it at control prices. So people will hoard those things. You have to hide to go and buy soap.
Na enyoma ho aye din ase ye kolomi ekofa nyoma eba uban so so na wa be kra bebre na aban aba se da bi na wonko a wo kra bebre ni abegye ni atono fofofo amobia.
Now I'm sharing this with you. Those of us in the villages, it was farming. There was no food anywhere. There was drought. So we would go to the bush. You won't get plantain, you won't get cassava, you won't get cocoyam. We began eating some crops that we have never eaten.
Now,
this country has gone through this.
Now,
when you look at this, and you look at what we are going through today, you will say, we are in paradise, right? What is my point? That there is nothing new under the sun. What is happening has happened before. And it is happening in other places. If you understand these things, you will change your attitude to what is happening to you. So that is point number two. Point number three. Always look at the big picture. Put things in the right perspective. Because when something is happening to you, sometimes the tendency is for you to just look at yourself and you alone and how you are suffering and so on.
If you just said, "Etoda, I'm paying for the two," and now we just say, "Ah, say na kame pe, I didn't say na kame." Now we show unkuwa odie.
But everything that is happening, there is a bigger meaning for you, for your community, and for your nation, and for the world.
So, bibi biya ACBA no. Eya na yewo mfoni kese a se ewiye ne be den amawo ene wo mu a woni won eben ni nyina.
A single mother had just one daughter.
Mami bi a na ononko anete onwa oni kunu ona
wo baba. She has struggled, sold all his things to take her daughter to school.
Na na wa bo modern pi so de ne baba no ebe ko school.
After 2 years in senior secondary school, the daughter sent her a WhatsApp message.
Na 2 years echie wo secondary school ne baba no sending a message.
Mommy, this is what the message says. Mommy.
Na asem no say ne kan
last few weeks ago, I was in school, I was bored, and I was walking on the campus. Some boys kidnapped me and took me away from campus.
Na memu bi eche mi, edi mi free school mu ha.
They went to hide me somewhere, and they were about to rape me.
Na maybe eche mumu koko siye bi nang kama betumi muna.
One of them begged them that they shouldn't because he loved me.
Na umu baako epo macho se mumu nyemi saifi se na odomi.
So he paid money to them and they left me alone.
Enunti otio muka eno umu jami ho.
But he asked me to stay with him in his apartment.
Because
of what he had done for me, I fell in love with him. I realized that I missed my last period. So my friend took me to the hospital and they confirmed that I'm pregnant. But the doctors also said that there is some sickness around the pregnancy that they are not sure about. A few days ago, my boyfriend's landlord came that his rent is due, but he didn't have money to pay, so they are kicking us out of the house. So I'm writing to you so that I will come home with my boyfriend and my baby.
Enunti me catcher say enche me ni me boy yi ene me ba no ye nyina e ba fie.
I know that you are the women's leader in the church, but this my boyfriend is a Muslim. He has promised to marry me and then he will convert to Islam.
Me ni me say una ye asori ho e ma ku opanyi de.
At this point, Mama was trembling. He dropped the phone, cursing her stars. What is happening to my daughter? After a few minutes of wailing and speaking in tongues, he came back and took the phone to continue the reading.
So
the message continued. Mommy, well, I have not been kidnapped by anybody. I have no boyfriend. There is no pregnancy. And I'm not coming home with any Muslim. The truth of the matter is that our results are out. I got F in English. I got A in mathematics. I know you say you want me to be a doctor for you, but I failed all the science subjects. So I wanted you to accept this result in the right perspective. The right perspective is what? Things could have been worse. So if I failed my exams, that That's not the end of the world. I haven't gotten any pregnancy for you. It's just an exam that have failed. So accept it in the right perspective. When things happen to you, and you put it in the right perspective, you are able to bear it. And so I would encourage you to put it in the right perspective. In Job chapter 14, verse 1 to 16, the Bible says, men born of a woman are of a few days, but full of troubles. They spring up like flowers and wither away. Like fleeting shadows, they do not endure. Do you fix your eyes on them? Will you bring them before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from impure? No one. A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put his time like a hired labor.
Now,
this is the big picture of our life. We are born of a woman. Tell me, raise your hand, anybody here who was not born of a woman? Anybody here? Breaking news. If all of us are born of a woman, the Bible says that you are of a few days, but full of troubles. And you are going to just wither away in a few days. There are things you cannot do. You have a limit to your life. This understanding will enable you to bear any challenge, any problem, because you put it in the right perspective and you see the big picture. You can read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 to 8 also. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. We're not reading. So that will tell you the nature of man also. Okay, last point, because of the time, we'll continue next week. So, the fourth point is that things get worse, but things also get better. My brothers and my sisters, the things that are happening in your life, the problems we are going through, the challenges we are seeing, they are temporary. Those of us who are farmers by origin, we know that before corn can germinate, it has to get rotten before it can germinate. There is a principle of life from decay. If you don't die, you can't go to heaven. So things have to get worse sometimes before they get better. I told you of my story. How things were difficult. I was the firstborn of, at that time, 10 children. And when my mother died in 1983, things were chaos. We all got scattered. Some relatives took some of them away to different other places. In those days, I was in the Scripture Union in 1983. And I would just go into the bush and just be praying and praying in tongues. It was Hababoria, Kansoria, Babasandokaria, Basandaria, Parababasandoria. I prayed and prayed day and night. I was praying. And it was then when I was praying this way that one brother, and one of the facts I forgot to tell you in 83 is that about 1 million Ghanaians were deported from Nigeria to come to Ghana that time.
Now, I think I'm going to say, some men are now Ghana, and Ghana for bear or people if you Nigeria, you come on more about Ghana.
So one of the returnees who was in my village had come from Agege.
Now, one of them Nigeria, Bako, and now Abami Honor, move your Agege.
So he was hearing me all the time in the bush praying and Hari Ababa, Boria, Sundoria, Sari Ababa. So one day he came to our house and says, I hear you all the time praying. Can we study the Bible?
And unti edakro oba mje ga say ah e toda me title say obo mpa ye wo carton bebre.
You bit
me sia chresem na na.
Long story short, that's how I became a member of the church.
Na me twani tia wa no sa na me be ye asafo imu ba.
But if at that time in those chaos I decided that life is not worth living, that I have to kill myself, will I be here today preaching to you?
Na sen ka sa me nu me kan say ah
today I can say all my brothers, later we became 15 because my father had to marry again and other. I'm still the firstborn. All of them, I've managed to support all of them. Some have gone to school, learn trade and whatever. If I had, where's my wife? If I had committed suicide, will Patricia have gotten this handsome man to marry? Brothers and sisters, things get worse, but they also get better. So I want to encourage you. Please do not despair. We'll continue with a few more principles next week. But what have we learned today? We have learned that we are in a VUCA situation and we need a VUCA response. We need vision, we need to be clear in our minds, we need better understanding to be able to survive. We have also learned that attitudes are more important than the facts. So choose positive attitude over negative attitude, even whatever the situation may be. We have also learned that we are in this world, but we are not of the world. So let's focus on the things above. We have also learned there is nothing new under the sun. What is happening to you has happened before. We've learned that we should always look at the big picture. Look at the big picture and have the right perspective. Finally, we've learned that things get worse, but things also get better. So let's keep hope alive.
And now, the chapter of the news is, best side here, now, so, a best side here, and do my yama, ye, a rich moon and war.
May God bless us in Jesus' name.
Yankupon, Kayan, who, or Yes Christo Dimu.
Amen.
Amen.